In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? You get your vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chats, help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Today is Tuesday, November 2nd. It is an election day, which feels weird to say without an absolute, like, sick feeling in my belly. Maybe I should have it, but it's a little lighter than last time.
Yeah, it's off-year election day is always interesting, isn't it? We don't know where to watch. We have an election here in New York City, so we're at least involved. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No idea which way. Yeah, very competitive elections here.
Yeah. I mean, we had our big voting in, April or June? When was it?
Yeah.
It's like the primaries are always a big deal here, and then it's like the Democrat is going to win.
So. Yeah, well, even in Boston, it's a general election, but it's two Democrats, which is cool. Boston, I'm excited about Boston because no matter where...
Oh, that's funny. I actually thought it was a primary.
Nope. There was like a primary and it's sort of like a ranked and they both came out on top. So either way, after today, Boston will have its first not Irish, not Italian man mayor for the first time in about 100 years.
Wow. Congrats to Boston.
Yeah, they're both wicked smart. Good for Boston.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be watching anything closely? Elise, I know you're concerned for hometown gal,
well,
VA.
Obviously, I have my eyes on Virginia. I sent out my text to all my home friends, making sure they will be voting for Terry McAuliffe. All of them said that they were. So based on my poll, he's getting 100% of the vote.
Informal Elise Morales straw poll.
In a poll that I conducted based on my contacts, He's winning.
I'm nervous for this one, guys. I'm nervous. I've been getting nervous as it's come closer.
You know, Virginia's only elected a governor that was the same party as the president once in the last 45 years, but that person was Terry McAuliffe. So
okay. That's good.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, we know Terry can do it, but can he do it again?
He can do it. He can do it.
Oh, and he will.
I wonder he will do it. That's looking like he's going to pull out on top. But either way, it's going to be close. Which, maybe not. It's probably going to be close. Our new mayor will likely be Eric Adams tomorrow. We will debrief on everything when we have the results. Elise, you have been elected to do some comedy shows.
I have. The voters have spoken, and I am doing shows. So I've got a couple little plugs to insert in this episode. This Saturday, the 6th of November at 8 p.m. at Eris in Williamsburg. My wonderful husband and I are hosting our new comedy show, Just Married, with all comedians who are also married. And we're going to like show pictures of our wedding and play fun wedding related games. Everyone should come to that. Tickets are $15. Also, my show, The Roast of Your Teenage Self, is back as a live show. Finally, I'm so excited. It'll be back November 14th at 7 p.m. at Stand Up New York, and November 27th at 7:30 p.m. at Union Hall. Everyone should come to all those things, and all of the tickets are just $15.
Yeah, such a good way to pass the
And the
time.
Ticket links are in my bio. You go to my bio on Instagram, I've got one of those Linktree things, all the ticket links are in there.
Perfect. Do you have anybody Live booked shows. Yet for your for your roast?
Do I have any guests booked yet? You know what? I will tell you, this is an exclusive. I haven't announced who's booked on the roast yet.
What a
treat. We have, and I'm going to be booking more people, but so far we have the wonderful Kelly Bachman. She's a hilarious stand-up who, okay, you guys might know her because she literally did a comedy show that Harvey Weinstein showed up at, and then she yelled at him.
Amazing. So,
she's also very funny that. Outside of the time she yelled at Harvey Weinstein, but she did yell at Harvey Weinstein, and that's awesome. Number two, as our special guest on the roast, and these are both for the show on the 14th, as our special guest, we have Sarah Natacheny, who is the voice of Ash Ketchum on Pokemon. Oh my God. And she's going to be playing games with me, and we're going to talk about all how, what sort of teenager becomes the voice of Ash Ketchum on Pokemon? Ash Ketchum. That's what I just said. Ash Ketchum.
That's a good like hybrid Halloween costume. I'm Ash Ketchum. Oh my
God. I'm Ash Ketchum, and you're like, yeah, you like, you're just, you get
your ass out. Yeah,
yeah, because I feel like your ass has to be out as Ash Ketchum, but also you're collecting ass. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Ketchum. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, that and more will be on display at the show.
And of course, I expect most people there will be vaccinated, even if I don't know if you have a big like NYPD contingent, but the cops got vaccinated. So they can come.
To enter the venue, you have to be vaccinated. So beautiful. The guest, I didn't even think to mention it because I know all of our SUP listeners, unless they have like a doctor's note saying that they're immunocompromised and can't for real legitimate reasons. I know that
show
they
us
are.
That doctor's note.
Yeah.
I want to see it, but
you must be vaccinated to listen to this podcast.
Or somebody who still likes us despite us constantly clowning on unvaccinated people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, I want to hear the other side. But no, all of those shows are vax only, so you will have to be vaccinated to attend.
Yes. Speaking of vaccination in New York City, so I want to start with some COVID headlines that are going around this week, especially in New York City. So Friday was the deadline for New York City workers, municipal workers, to get fully vaccinated in order to keep their jobs. So they would have to come to, they can't come to work Monday. They could not come to work yesterday if they were unvaccinated. So top headline here before we go into some of these clowns who are still not vaccinated is that an overwhelming majority of city workers did get jabbed. This mandate really worked. It was one of the strongest in the country. And about 9,000 of the city's 368,000 workers are still unvaccinated. That's like about it's less than 6%. It's a very small percentage. There had been warnings across the country, really, but also in New York City, that thousands of police officers would just walk off the job, abandon their posts. The city would dissolve into chaos and lawless ruin as soon as this mandate went into effect. And that didn't happen. 34 NYPD officers are currently on paid leave for failing to comply. Only 34 of 35,000.
I was hoping for more, you know?
More unvaxxed cops?
Yeah, more people not getting on paid leave. No, I'm kidding.
It's very interesting to see their failure to comply. If only they complied with the law, they would be able to go forward unharmed. Like, it's just so interesting to see these cops who literally, like a year ago when we were marching for racial justice, were trying to say all this stuff about how you should just obey the law and be fine. And now they're refusing to comply with the law and being big babies about it.
Big, big babies. I mean, both the police commissioner and Mayor de Blasio said that these specific police absences had, quote, literally no effect on service at this point, which just feels like kind of like a dagger for like unvaxxed. Like, imagine like not showing up to work and being really defiant about it and being like, we literally didn't notice.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Because that's the big thing about quitting your job, like in a huff like that, right? Is that you're like, you'll never replace me. And then the boss is like, we didn't even notice you didn't come in today.
Yeah, I mean, there are just 34 office NYPD officers just doing nothing all around. Like, just remove one of the gaggles, you're fine.
I was just hoping that, like I said, like they would realize that, like, oh, maybe we don't need this many police officers in New York City. Like, you know, it's like that was the result.
That's so funny. Like, if it had been more, and then you could say, like, literally nothing has changed. Well, excellent. Yeah. The police defunded themselves.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So now let's look to the fire department, where things are a little bit different. And I'm sort of confused as to why, but so 2,300 New York City firefighters called in sick yesterday morning. That's when the mandate went into effect. This looked to be a coordinated protest of the vaccine mandate. Now, apparently, normally 800 to 1,000 fire department employees call in sick on any given day. There's just so many of them. But this is still a huge, then you want to say, okay, 1,300 extra. I mean, that's a lot. That's a coordinated effort. So on this, the FDNY commissioner said, quote, once the members come to their senses and stop using medical leave improperly, they can help out not only the citizens of the city, but their brothers and sisters who are staffing these units. So really reserving some frustration with them. And the same commissioner said that he thought maybe some people were calling in sick because of vaccine side effects. I don't know. Unions for these professions, they have generally opposed the mandates, and they've said at the very least that these firefighters should have had more time to decide whether to get vaxxed, to file medical or religious exemptions, or decide they'd rather just retire than get vaccinated. I don't have the date on me now when this was announced, this mandate, but they had time. They had time.
Yeah, and the vaccine's been out since the beginning of the year. So yeah.
My Pfizer vaccine is like... Barely
yeah, elderly. Yeah. Elderly yeah. Vaccine at this point. It's like they don't, it's not a time issue. These are people who don't want to get vaccinated and they don't like being told to get vaccinated, and they weren't going to like it or like being told it if it happened a month from now or a month before now. Like, it was always... It's interesting that it's the firefighters.
Why do we think that is? That's so unusual. I mean, it's such a large, I don't know. I mean, to me also, it just doesn't, this is a profession where you run into fire. You risk your life. You're like, if you're going to do risk assessment is important to you in your life and like avoiding death and being strategic about that, I think you should get a different job. Like, you are much more likely to die just fighting a fire than getting this vaccine, which you will not die.
That is such a funny point. Yeah, it is way more dangerous to run headfirst into a fire than it is to get the vaccine.
I my only thing is, like, they don't interact with as many people as police officers, so maybe that's, you know, like, the difference there, because police officers obviously interact with people. Hopefully firefighters don't have to interact with too many people in burning buildings.
Yeah.
But don't firefighters show up for like lots of, aren't they the one that come when your like cat is in a tree?
Yes, but I'm just disappointed. Yeah, yeah, supposedly. I'm just disappointed. I've always like felt had an affinity for firefighters. You know, especially in New York, like, I'm like, oh, 9/11.
Exactly. That's why I feel weird. Like, I feel weird like being annoyed with these firefighters, but it just doesn't track to me. It's like you risk your life in a lot of different ways. Maybe I was thinking too, Brian, I had the same thought. Maybe they're just not interfacing with as many people. Like, if I were a cop in the city, it's like you're talking to so many people. A lot of people who don't have good access to healthcare might have sicknesses that are not just COVID. Like, I would get vaccinated with everything if I were.
Yeah, but cops on the subway like barely even wear masks, and then get mad when people ask them to wear masks and will like arrest you if you ask them to wear masks.
Did you see the video of them dragging that guy out for asking
them to wear a mask?
Like, at least we know they were probably vaccinated.
The subway is disgusting without COVID. Like, I would love to, I wish I wore a mask every time I was on the subway before I even experienced this pandemic.
Mask isn't going away for me on the subway.
No, never.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah, it's a bummer that it's the firefighters that are holding out the most, but maybe part of it is that they're like, don't tell us what to do. We run into fire.
Right. I mean, there are like lots of like profession identity groups have like intersected you might not expect. So maybe there is something there. And I'm sure they are frustrated with being pushed about this. Like, how dare you tell us what to do when we like save your lives? But it's just a shot. I wonder when, like, I feel like we're a couple weeks or maybe months away from the time where it's like every vaccine mandate has fully been in effect. Like, who is still unvaccinated and what are they doing? Because I've asked people like on Instagram, do you guys know people that had to get vaccinated eventually to keep their job? And they're like, I know people that quit their job. What are people going to do for money if they don't get vaccinated?
They're not going anywhere either, so they're not spending.
That's true. That's true.
They've got a lot of time to figure it out at home, where they're the only place that they're allowed. I don't know. I mean, I do feel like the more vaccine mandates go into effect, the more stringent they become, it is going to become a smaller and smaller group who are just really committed to the political aspect of not getting vaccinated. I think that there is a section of people who have a serious aversion to being told what to do, who eventually will get vaccinated because they just want to put up a, they want to seem like a free thinker first.
Contrarians.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Like they want to be like, well, no, like once it gets like too hard, they'll be like, okay, finally I thought about it. I took
it's
all
like
my
me
time.
With TikTok. Me getting on TikTok.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know who I am have less patience for, people who are unvaccinated or people who still don't know what a bones day is. Neither are acceptable. It is late 2021, people. It is late 2021.
Yeah, we're all on TikTok now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know I'm going to be extra careful with my in my kitchen and with my flammable devices. I mean, the mayor said, like, this is so far not impacting firehouses, but this is a lot of people. And if these 1,300 people, or maybe more, if, you know, it wasn't just another 1,000 people calling in sick, because that's what happens on Mondays, like, this is going to affect their ability to extract people from burning buildings. And
well, like, I hope that's, and I hope that's not, like, the reason why people will get vaccinated is that something terrible happens and there's not enough firefighters to respond and a firefighter gets injured or a person or something. And I, because, you know, once that happens, then, you know, that I feel like that shouldn't have to happen. But, like, that could be the reason people would actually be, like, swayed to do something, like, get vaccinated before that happens.
Totally. Like, in the, when we're talking about this in 20 years and our kids are like, when did you get vaccinated? It's like, I'm glad I'm going to be able to say the instant it was available to me, this was the death toll. Not like, well, actually, I got it 8 months later when hundreds of thousands of more people died and I watched my buddy burn, like, get COVID and die next to me. Like, that's not the answer. You want to just be like, I got it when I got it. It was there. So I got it. Which reminds me, I need to get my, I'm going to get my flu shot on my way to vote. It's going to be the most productive. Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same thing. Yeah, that's a good idea. I need to get my flu shot. Wow. I'm going at like 4. So I'll do both.
A blue check liberal day.
Be like us, everybody. Get your flu shot, get your jab all at once. So yeah, we'll be watching that. And I'm curious, I didn't get a chance to look at if like in other locations in cities, there was quite a disparity between like police and firefighters. But that's interesting. If I find more information about that or why that specific issue seems to be happening, we'll definitely share. Next today, we're talking about SB 8 again. I cannot believe that this law has just been like in effect. Abortion is casually illegal in Texas and has been since September 1st. Two months now. Wild.
And this like bounty hunter aspect of the law, which is, you know, the craziest, so, like so insane and so disturbing. Like that's in effect.
Right. I mean, there's definitely people like active. There are definitely people that don't have jobs, maybe that can't go back to their job because they didn't get vaccinated, who are just sort of like sitting in their cars looking for people to sue. So where is the Supreme Court with this now? There's a lot happening with abortion in the Supreme Court for the rest of the year. The Supreme Court has twice now opted not to block the Texas law while litigation moves forward. So yesterday they heard arguments. They weren't weighing the constitutionality of the Texas abortion ban yesterday. Instead, they were considering whether the Biden administration and or Texas abortion providers have the right to sue at all. Because as we know, this is because the Texas law was designed to be really difficult to challenge by making it impossible to sue government officials who are usually in charge of implementing laws in question. So instead, providers are trying to like get it so that clerks or judges or somebody can't. It's very complex and specific, and that's what Texas wanted. So 6 of the 9 justices seems very barred by this law, the fact that it circumvents legal challenges. The 3 liberals obviously disgusted that Texas is depriving people of their constitutional right to an abortion. And 3 of the conservatives, Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, and John Roberts, they were also pretty clearly disturbed in kind of a different way that a state could try to avoid the Supreme Court's authority in order to deprive anybody of any constitutional right. For instance, Justice Brett Kavanaugh wondered aloud what's stopping somebody in California, for instance, from suing somebody with an AR-15 rifle for $1 million if this law can move forward with no challenges. Who's stopping
Good
that?
Idea.
Yeah,
good
exactly.
idea.
Why 10,000? Just hike it up.
Interesting, and, yeah.
That money part, like the quantity, was an interesting framing for me personally. Like John Roberts, who remember earlier this year, the Chief Justice said he would have blocked the law. He referred to the Texas penalty as a bounty, which is a good sign because he acknowledges that it's really problematic. And he seemed really unconvinced that abortion providers need to be sued before they challenge the law, because yes, the Texas law is $10,000, but it's indistinguishable legally from a law that was like $1 million. So he's like, you're not going to tell me that an abortion provider has to risk paying $1 million before we can hear this. So
yeah.
And then obviously Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas, they were all like, whatever, let the state do whatever they want. States' rights, states' rights, states' rights. So we were really watching those six pretty closely. Finally, let's listen to Justice Elena Kagan, who was really fun to listen to. She stated really plainly that just because some, quote, geniuses, she said sarcastically, came up with this workaround, should obviously not mean that the Supreme Court just throws up their hands. Let's listen.
And if this court is going to stand by its...
General Stone, I think what Justice Breyer is suggesting is that the entire point of this law, its purpose and its effect, is to find the chink in the armor of Ex parte Young. That Ex parte Young set out a basic principle of how our government is supposed to work and how people can seek review of unconstitutional state laws. And the fact that after these many years, some geniuses came up with a way to evade the commands of that decision, as well as the command that the even broader principle that states are not to nullify federal constitutional rights. And to say, we've never seen this before, so we can't do anything about it. I guess I just don't understand the argument.
I feel like I understood the bookends there.
Yeah.
Like, the beginning.
A couple Latin words in there that I don't really know. I believe
Ex parte Young is just the part where, like, normally you sue, like, the government official involved, because that's not here. But as I said, she just stated really plainly, like, this can't exist. Like, if states are allowed to do this, then we're irrelevant. Why are you even asking us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was this really good article in Slate that was called something along the lines of how the architects of the Texas abortion ban overplayed their hand. And because they wrote the law in such a way that it basically negates the purpose of the Supreme Court, they now have to ask the Supreme Court to strip itself of its own, like, power. And it seems like there are at least three justices on the court, conservative or no, who are not willing to do that. So it's interesting. It doesn't get us out of the woods by any means, but it would be terrible if they said that we couldn't even challenge.
Right. Well, it's possible that the way they're going to respond is actually only we can ban abortion.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, and we will.
We will, but we just want to make sure you know that it's only us that can.
Yeah.
Like, we do not want to delegate this power. We want to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. They want to
do it. Amy Coney Barrett's like, I want to do less work.
Yes, Amy Coney Barrett's like, I've been waiting my whole frickin' life for this, and you're not just going to do it.
If anyone's banning
abortion, it's going to be me.
That is so funny. That is, like, literally polar opposite, like, RBG energy.
I know.
And then meanwhile, like, Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas are like, whatever, you go ahead and ban it, then we don't have to. I want to go home. I've had this job forever.
Every time I think about the Supreme Court, it just makes me, like, go back to the whole, where are we talking about, like, balancing the court? What's going on there?
I know.
I guess so I don't know.
I feel like something devastating has to happen. Like, maybe, so we'll see if something devastating does happen. The next time the Supreme Court is going to talk about abortion is December 1st. So for months now, abortion rights advocates have been warning not to give SCOTUS too much credit or any credit on this Texas ban if they do let it continue moving through. And again, like, if the Supreme Court tomorrow was like, yeah, okay, fine, they're not saying the law is blocked. They're saying this can move forward. It's fine for abortion providers to sue. But they could also then say, actually, and now we do feel it is appropriate to block the law, having heard about it. That can happen, to my knowledge, anytime. Like, I think I thought that a lot of time these Supreme Court, big Supreme Court cases, the decisions come out in like early June, but it doesn't have to. They could do this whenever they want. But obviously they have like a lot to do and don't seem to feel much urgency here. They're also going to hear an abortion ban from Mississippi in December. This bans abortion after 15 weeks, so way before viability outside the womb and, you know, way before existing precedent allows. So it wants to change the precedent. Mississippi doesn't just want SCOTUS to decide if its law violates that existing precedent, but it wants them to overturn Roe v. Wade, saying that it was wrongly decided and people don't actually have a constitutional right to decide what to do with their bodies. So if SCOTUS overturns Roe, Texas doesn't need SB 8. It can just ban and criminalize abortion the old-fashioned way. It can just ban it and start throwing people in prison. And like we said, if Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh want to ban abortion, if that's what they were put on the court to do, they can just wait until December to do it. And it's a lot easier. It's a lot smoother. It's a lot neater for them. So I'm a little bit more nervous about that one. But at the same time, like, you can get, there aren't a lot of places to get an abortion in Mississippi today, but there's more than Texas.
Yeah. It's not a good outlook. It's not a good outlook.
Gosh darn it. need more liberal justices on that court.
Yeah, I mean, if this were to go in a direction where in June the Supreme Court says yes, Roe was wrongly decided. Yeah, but look at it this way: that's going to be June 2022. I don't want this to happen. June 2022 is just a couple months before November 2022. So, like, the anger yeah. that would drive people. I would need every person in Congress that is a Democrat and has a D next to their name to tell me they're going to pack that court. And then I will vote for all of them.
Well, and it's also the flip side, too. It's like conservatives, you know, they will feel less motivated on that flip side because, like, oh, they've already banned abortion. I don't need to be motivated, because it is such a motivator for that base. Arguably, that's one of the reasons politicians are so vocal about banning abortion, because they know it will turn out their base. So it's just like, if they're actually able to ban it, like, what does that do for that motivation on the flip side of it too?
And I feel like for Democrats, it only motivates us when it's like very acute. I mean, the Kavanaugh confirmation was what, like a mere weeks or something before the midterms, right? Wasn't it 2018? I mean, Democrats seem to only get really incensed about it when it's like very present and something is happening right now. But you're right, Brian, conservatives, like, they build entire, they choose candidates based on this. Like, the Federalist Society has been doing this for a long time to try to get this done. And it's frustrating when you see so many things. Like, it just parallels to me the conversations about like paid family leave. It's just like, it's so easy for these male dominated institutions to just put things on the back burner and think it's fine. Women will deal with this. They always seem to find a way. It's like, we're tired. We're oppressed. Please help.
Yes.
That is our show for today. We will be back tomorrow with updates on the election, and we'll be sharing updates tonight all across social. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.